Contrary to what you may have been told, this is not my last sermon. I don't care what you hope for. For to me, to live is Christ. And Christ lives in me, and I live in him. As long as I live, I will be with you in our memories. My last sermon will be just before the close of the lid. So what's the correct way to come to the Father? I learned how to do that right here on Saturday afternoon. There was a family that had a little red-headed boy. By the way, he's grown up through college now. And every Saturday afternoon, they'd take he and his little sister to the nursery to be there while we could have church. And before the end of the Eucharist, the dad would go over and pick them up and bring them back. And as soon as they got inside the building, that little boy would take off down the aisle. He would run as fast as he could go. And his mother was always kneeling right here. And he would zip in, drop to his knees, cross himself, "Hi, Mom," and hold out his hand to receive the blessed body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the way to come to the Lord. Run, don't walk. Run. Make things right with the people around you, and then open your heart to receive the blessed Lord. So that's one of the few lessons I've learned at St. Martin, because I've learned a lot here. I learned that if you put a clock in the back of the choir loft so that the preacher can see it, maybe he won't preach too long. I can see it right now. After all these years, it was placed there for me. Actually, I intend to preach to you today, not the clock. So brace yourself. I stand in the pulpit. I get to look out at you and look into your soul and see you. And that's what I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to your soul and telling you some things about yourself that you probably never knew. Because soon after I came to St. Martin's, I learned that I would be part of a group going to Malawi to teach the people there, the young people, how to do happening. The young people didn't have any responsibility in the church. There just wasn't anything for them in Malawi. And they ran on to happening and asked us to come show them how to do it. Well, when I told the people at St. Martin's that I was going, they wanted to help sponsor the trip, help pay for it. Frank Reeves and I figured we'd get $200 or $300. We always did in a special thing. Not only, they bought our airline tickets, Gene and me, and then gave me Tilly hats, both of us, and I took $700 in my pocket to Malawi to do as I saw fit amongst the people. Well, we bought a lot of supplies for that, for happening. And then I'll tell you the rest of the story later. Part of the happening is foot washing. And when I asked the bishop, how do people feel about having their feet washed? I don't know. Ask the youth leader. And he knew as much as the bishop did. None at all. So, at that point in the happening, I told people, I told the happeners, what we had in mind, that we would like to wash the people from Fort Worth, Texas, would like to wash the feet of the happeners. Well, we weren't sure. But I tell you what, your back sure does get sore when you're kneeling, washing a couple of hundred feet. And it was wonderful. It was just wonderful as they came. And they had walked in the dirt that day. They walked there barefoot. And they walked around barefoot all day. And the water turned black. But still, it kept coming. We changed the water, and it was just a marvelous occasion. In Coronga, there was a visitor there from the Mother Church in England, and he was there to see what was going on, and he was blown away with foot washing. He saw the spiritual thing about allowing your feet to be washed, and then somebody washing their feet of the people. And he took the back to England. I don't know what he did with it, but he was certainly impressed. We purchased a large pot to cook the food. Made some kind of corn stuff that they ate. And when we were doing the one in Coronga, the women of the parish showed up to do the cooking, and they, oh, glory, we can have parish dinners now. We can have get-togethers. We have something to cook in so that we can get together. And I didn't do it, but somebody else had to tell them. No, those are to use for the happenings that are all over the diocese. So, no, you can't have them here. I was sad to hear that, because I wanted them to have them. I'm still digesting what happened in Malawi in front of me. And I was concentrating on what I was doing instead of listening to what was going on. Coronga, the second parish for the happening, two or three boys arrived about 2 p.m. And I was the only one from Fort Worth with a youth leader. And soon after they arrived, the youth leader told me the boys said they had had nothing to eat that day, and would I buy them something to eat? Well, my con armor went up, and I suspected con. Later on in life, just a few days later, I heard they really didn't have any food at home. The people didn't have food. A few years later, after that time we were there and another bishop had come in, he went to Coronga to make a parish visit. And the vicar told him, says, Bishop, I have people that will die today or tomorrow if they don't get food. The bishop went back to the diocese, to the office, and sent him the money that he had reserved to pay priest salaries. buy food for the people. My education, theology, and compassion were stretched by the people of Malawi. They were the poorest people that I'd ever heard, ever known, but they sang the happiest songs. I woke at 4:30 the first Sunday morning of the first happening and heard the singing from at least a quarter of a mile away from where we were staying. The young people were singing happy songs, Christian songs, and filling the air with praise. It was just a great time. One young woman came to happening with her baby strapped to her back. And that's the way they carried the babies. They had a harness that worked. And as she sat in one of the meetings, they were discussing the way they do happening. The baby started fussing. So she just turned the baby around in the harness, and the baby nursed during the happening, during the discussion. Wow. This Baptist boy from West Texas had a problem with that. And before I said anything, the Holy Spirit interfered. Oh, keep quiet. I said, you're the only one that's bothered. And I was. Many miracles happened those 2 weeks, and I was the recipient of many of them. My life was changed. I was sent out as a missionary, a calling I'd heard as a Baptist church in West Texas when I was a teenager. I tried to work it out in many ways during the time, but it was until after I was confirmed in the Episcopalian that God says, now's the time. Now's the time. And as soon as I understood it, I said, God, nobody's going to believe me. You know, I was right, but I was ordained. Eventually, God works things out. God works things out when He calls. A day before we left Malawi, the bishop took us to visit the parish that met under some trees. And they were, at that point, building a building to meet in. After listening to their struggles and their plea to the bishop for money to buy building materials, I whispered to the bishop and asked him if I could give them $100. He said, yes. I could do this because after you people gave me the tickets and all the other things, you'd given me the $700 to take. I stood and said, the people, some St. Martins in the field in Keller, Texas, would like to give you people $100 for your building fund. Well, there's something like 25,000 watches. And I'm sure I gave him the figure in watches. Carnival erupted. The ladies started making the sound that they make in Africa when they're happy. I found myself in the arms of a large woman parishioner, and we were dancing. The bishop had told me women and men did not dance together in Malawi. And I told him, this one did. But I was overwhelmed by how much $100 meant to them and how little it means to me. I could do all this. All these things happened to me because of you. You made them happen. I couldn't have been there without you. I had your prayers. I had your money. And most of all, you as a representative of the church had laid hands on me and called me to be a priest. For the past 15 years, you've supported me in Kairos, another Curcio program designed for people in prison. I've been blessed to be part of some 50 weekends. These are life-changing experiences for the prisoners and the people that do them. Me. Their hearts are changed. It makes so much difference in the prison system that TCJC, or TDCJ, Texas Department of Criminal Justice, is begging for more Kairos weekends because it changes the population. And the harder the heart, it seems like the greater the change. And they send us the worst customers sometimes and are amazed at how those people find Jesus during the weekend, and their lives are changed. I have a friend who's very active in his church. And when someone does a background check on him since he got out of prison and confronts him, his reply is, "That was what I did. This is who I am." His life has been changed, and he's a different person. Last December, at the last Kairos I did at Michael Unit, a maximum security prison, we were standing and singing, and then they started playing "When the Saints Go Marching In." I grabbed the man on my right, hooked my arm in his, the man on my left hooked my arm in his, and we started marching. And we went around, and as we went, we'd pick up other guys and get them joining. And pretty soon, the small room was packed with something like 75 to 100 men marching to go help see Jesus, go to heaven. And we were marching into the kingdom of God. And I realized that the man I had on my right was a Muslim. The man I had on my left was a Roman Catholic. And this Baptist Episcopalian was leading him as we went to heaven. That's the story. We're all going to heaven. Let's enjoy the trip. Let's take everybody with us we can. The three of us, one black, I'm white, and one Hispanic. We were everybody, and that was wonderful. You were with me because we are the church. We're marching to meet Jesus with the Malawians, the prisoners, and each other. God bless you. I love you. I think if Jesus showed up now amongst us, he'd say, "You good and faithful servants, I have made you masters over a few things. I'll ask you to go into the world around you and tell the good news that Jesus Christ is alive at St. Martin's in the Field in Keller, Texas. God bless you all. And know that you are loved. I love you. Thank you so much for being you. God bless you. Amen.